Thank you, Brother Gary. And we're so happy Brother Gary was able to come out. He hasn't been out for 5 years because of his cancer, but he's recovering so wonderfully, and so we're very happy for him. So, dear friends, we're gathered here today on the farm, probably away from your usual kind of convention halls, but we are so delighted that brethren from far and near were able to come out here and be with us during the next 3 days. So especially some of you who have never been here, Brother, I won't mention names, but some of you were never out this way, and it's a real pleasure to have you in our midst, and we look forward to wonderful blessings from fellowship we'll have one with another. So, dear friends, we welcome you and anyone. I don't know, are we online too? Not yet? Okay. So, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our dear and beloved King, I want to extend peace to all of you. Everyone who loves the Heavenly Father and who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as the ransomer of Adam's race, I believe is fully welcome here, and extend that special invitation to all. On behalf of the Prince Albert and Saskatoon Bible students, I now extend a very warm welcome to all of you who journeyed to this convention. May peace, joy be multiplied unto you in the name of Jesus. Our sincere prayer is that we may go away from this convention with praise for our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ upon our lips, and truly showing in our hearts that we can say it is good to be here, for here we can rest a while and fill our leaky vessels with the truth, with the Lord's Spirit, and through fellowship one with another, continue to realize what a grand privilege it is to meet in convention, to be strengthened, and to strengthen each one, to help endure hardness as good soldiers of the cross. Today we're living in a most precious time, the most favorable time it has ever been man's perhaps privilege to live. To be living today and to be privileged to have a knowledge of God's plan as revealed in His Word is the most wonderful privilege ever accorded to man. Are we really appreciating all that the Lord has done for us and is doing? How thankful our heart should be at this time, a time fraught with great possibilities, for we are living at the very portals of the golden age to come, upon which the minds of great men, like the prophets of old and many of the gospel age, have meditated upon and sacrificed their lives with the hope that they may do God's will, but learn more of this wonderful time, the kingdom to be established here in great power on earth. Yes, dear brethren, what a privilege we have of being here now, that we too can ponder and meditate upon the heights and the depths and the lengths and the breadths of God's marvelous plan of the ages. And do we not occupy a special, important position, which is our privilege? And because it is an important time, it also suggests that there is an important work for all of us to do. The Lord is not selecting idlers or those who do not serve Him with gladness of heart and with so many opportunities for service. Our Lord is truly testing us along the lines of our zeal, our love, our loyalty for Him. Our theme text for this convention, 2 Peter 1:5-8, encourages us to waste no time, but pull up our socks, as it were, and diligently add to our faith all the fruits and graces of the Spirit. And so we look forward with much anticipation to hearing the symposium that they will be given by the brethren during the course of this convention. Perhaps we should ask ourselves an important question. Why have we come to this convention? Is it for social entertainment or of hearing reports of committees or perhaps of passing resolutions, etc.? I'm sure we're glad, dear friends, that we are not here for that purpose. How thankful we are that we have not only come not for social entertainment or even physical rest or recreation, or to spend our time in idleness, or perhaps idle talk, or chit-chat, or gossip, or for any other purpose than that which really our Lord arranged. We have come here for the special purpose of encouraging, strengthening, upbuilding one another in the most holy faith. We have come aside for 3 days to spend our time in meditation, in prayer, in study of God's Word. As Jesus often would go aside alone with His Father, sometime into the mountains, to pray and study the Father's plan and will for Him. And the Father would illuminate His mind and give Him a clear understanding of it. And we pray that it may be so with us during the course of this convention. The Apostle Paul tells us that the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit, because they are foolishness unto him. 1 Corinthians 2:4. As new creatures in Christ, we need to have our minds continually illuminated by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of truth, and realizing as never before that the end of all things is at hand. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, Apostle Peter tells us, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? 2 Peter 3:14. This truly does suggest to us soberness of mind, to a candid consideration of things before us. Seeing then, as the Apostle Peter says, all these things shall be dissolved, all these nerve-wracking institutions will be removed, and living at this time can be very challenging. And at times, it is very difficult to be sober-minded, and are constantly reminded not to allow ourselves to get worked up and frustrated, but to be sober, to be calm, to be trustful in the Lord. It is true that there are many things that can disturb us and cause us to lose the peace of God. So we are urged to soberness and prayer and watchfulness, and this is the reason. The Apostle urges us again to gain a knowledge of God's plan of the ages, God's plan of salvation, to see the beauties of His creation, the new creation, the bride of Christ, also the human creation that eventually will follow the selection of the bride class. It is true that there are many things, and I'm sure you've experienced at work and other places, things don't always go well, do they? The boss can test you, and the working conditions can be difficult. But back of your mind, you have the plan of God. You know the Creator. You know the Lord. And here, we hope that during the course of this convention, your minds may be at peace with God through Christ. All of these things truly inspire us to ponder the paradise condition that soon will come upon this earth, and that is in God's due time. Dear friends, we should not become easily excited or disturbed or permit life's experiences to sour our disposition or harden our hearts, but to calmly view the things that are before us, and that we are the Lord's ambassadors, walking in the footsteps of Jesus, and for that reason we have come away from the world to be here. And we have come here for that special purpose, to build one another up in the most holy faith, in Christ likeness. For we read in Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And it is here in the school of Christ, dear friends, in the school of discipline, that the trials of faith and patient endurance come upon us, to prove our faithfulness, to prove our zeal, our loyalty, our love. We're living in a time in which the world at large everywhere is distressed and at its wit's end. They seem to have no way out today. The world leaders are meeting, discussing, analyzing the world situation, but they're not able to come up with any kind of a plan that would rectify the world's problems. In fact, they just continue to deepen and worsen. But we are to remain calm, waiting on the Lord, receiving the Lord's invisible presence. Oh, how privileged we are. And I'm sure the brethren will remind us of these things during the next 3 days of convention. And during the course of this convention, let us continue to watch and pray, watching our shortcomings, listening carefully to the message given by our dear brethren, so we can put into practice the things we have heard to help us make our calling and election sure. We need ears to be attuned to what the brethren will say from this platform. We have not come here to watch for some weakness in our brother or sister. If we are going to watch that brother or that sister and compare our greatness with their smallness, or compare our spirituality with their lack of spirituality, or if we are only looking for defects in others, we are sure to find them, find ourselves stumbling over them. Surely we have not come here for that purpose. We have so many weaknesses in ourselves that it is, I think, very proper to be searching, scrutinizing our own hearts rather than anyone else's. Let us view things from the divine standpoint. Let us have our hearts filled with love for our brethren, viewing them from the standpoint of the new creation. If we do this, the danger of stumbling will be reduced to a minimum. We are told that we knew our Lord according to the flesh, but after his resurrection, we're told we know him so no more. And it is also with our brethren. We know them as new creatures in Christ. The scriptures admonish us to have fervent love amongst ourselves, to love, for love covers a multitude of sins or blemishes. Let us cover one another's weaknesses with the mantle of love. The Lord is very gracious to us and covers our weaknesses. The time is short and the harvest work has been going on for many years, and that soon the last member will have gone beyond the veil. Should bestir us to, at the beginning of this convention, to greater zeal, to greater love for each other, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, according to our standing as new creatures in Christ Jesus. And while here for the next 3 days, we will be watched by angels, and our Lord will be with us, guiding and filling us with his Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 4:9, we read that we are made a spectacle unto angels and men. The angels of heaven are beholding the wonderful opportunity that is given to you and I to run for the prize of the heavenly calling, and to see if we're going to be faithful to the Lord above everything else. I'm sure we all want to demonstrate daily walk that we have been with the Lord and that we seek not approval of the world or approval of the men of the world, but want to show by our fruits of the fruits of the Spirit that we love the Lord and are conscientious in our convictions that we believe and practice what we believe. Dear brethren, this privilege of running for the heavenly prize will soon end, and our hearts rejoice with unspeakable joy. at the grand prospects that are before us, it's almost mind-boggling, isn't it, to think what the Lord has promised if we are faithful. May this convention inspire you all to renewed determination, renewed zeal, laying your all on the altar of sacrifice to be consumed in carrying out your covenant of sacrifice. May we view the hope set before us, like who viewed the promised land from Pisgah's mountain. There he saw the promised land, the land that God promised for him. He never did enter. But nevertheless, we are on Pisgah's mountain viewing glorious heavenly things and the things that are soon going to befall this earth. What a grand panoramic view we have of the land of promise, the church's triumphant entrance into the kingdom to be the bride of Jesus and together bless all the families of the earth. Let us grow more and more like him each day and be drawn into the bond of love. May our faces be lit up with the light of his countenance throughout the length of this convention and through all the days that we live upon the face of this earth. So we again welcome you to this convention, and may our Heavenly Father bless you and keep you, dear brethren. We appreciate the sacrifice you have made to come to this convention, and we look forward to the many admonitions, counseling that they will give to us, inspiring us with these precious promises and doctrines that are in the Word of God, that we might rise a little higher as a result of this convention. May the Lord add his blessing.